there are certain parts of your mind lighting up right now on the MRI scan. The way you're thinking is exposed. The neuroscientists, they know exactly what part of your mind is turned on. But you know what the MRI isn't picking up? That you're now tuned in unconsciously to your favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, everybody. Greg Bornstein here, your consciousness disruptor, your cultural hypnotist, your curator of experience. I'm a looper, and so are you, if you've tuned in this long. Welcome to Open Loops. Yes, we are here too. You know what I realized, actually? I may have twisted this definition of open loops wide open, far beyond what it should be. But that's okay, because an open loop is always evolving. It's an unfinished... Well, we'll get to that in a second. You see, this is a show where we explore the topics that take us away from it all. We're talking magic, we're talking hypnosis, we're talking applied psychology and persuasion, we're talking Walt Disney World, we're talking the glamour of entertainment, the fantastical, the mystical, the otherworldly, the paranormal, the supernatural, the conspiratorial, the spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric, and of course, the biggest questions of them all, who and what we really are. My goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by presenting you with guests and some ideas myself that are radically unique, designed to challenge your existing belief system, and bring on guests that are radically unique, designed to, yes, repetition. Guess what? I did it twice. Wasn't that weird? I was designing that sentence unconsciously to stimulate your other than conscious minds listening to me right now, wondering what's going on. Is this hypnosis? Is it not? And when are you going to wake up out of that trance that you're in already? You see, that's what this show is really about, because an open loop is just that. It's an unconscious provocation. It's starting an idea, but not finishing it. It's making you wonder, what comes next? I want to know more. And the more we pursue these open loops, and the more that we close some, but then keep others open, the more it forces you to step into the highest version of yourself. Today's guest, I love this lady, Marseille Butler. Marseille is the host of the Esoteric Negro podcast. She, well, obviously it's a provocative name, but she's a provocateur. Not deliberately so, though. I don't believe she's out there just to shock people for the sake of shocking people. That's a cheap trick. That's something that you might expect me to do once in a while. No. Marseille is here to shock people with the truth. She is a frequent podcaster, a Clubhouse speaker, and really just a thought leader in the sense of bringing up aspects of politics, race, really everything, social justice, socioeconomic issues in the spiritual community, which I love. Love. I think it's great. Because Obviously, yes, I'm into the topics that take us away from it all. I said that at the beginning, all this spirituality, and sometimes it even grosses me out a little bit when I hear it. I sit there and I go, ooh, light work, guides, angels. Sure, I think there's merit to some of it. Well, do I think there's merit? I do have a skeptical mind. I'll tell you that. I have a skeptical mind. It's very true. But I can't always explain away everything that people claim. And that's part of the joy of this show in a lot of ways. We're exploring these topics. We're looking at it from different angles. We're challenging people who claim they have these, what some might call, outlandish beliefs. But even more mysterious, why do they think the way they do if it is just a quote-unquote delusion? A delusion isn't, it's not always the easiest thing to explain away. That said, yes, like I was saying earlier, it can get very high vibration and ethereal and just, oh, I don't know what this is that these people are talking about. And what I like about Marseille, at the very least, is that she grounds it. And she grounds it with honest analysis, cultural analysis, and social analysis of what's going on, and presenting some truths to people and saying, hey, look, it's not all financial abundance. It's not all light and joy and peace and happiness. There's some struggles out there. And oftentimes, the people that present these perspectives have a limited perspective of the reality around them. So you have to ground the woo. Marseille grounds the woo. And I'm not just saying it. Look, she's not a critic, okay? She's not just out there saying, oh, this is garbage, this is crap, oh, let's consider. No. I mean, she had Mitch Horowitz on her show, who, if I could have this gentleman on the show one day, it'd be a dream. I mean, this is the very popular esoteric writer. He's making metaphysics hip again. He's been on Coast to Coast, all the big paranormal and spiritual broadcasts. Mitch Horowitz is there. Some of the best books out there about spirituality today and bringing hermetic principles into society today. Marseille had him on, had other shamanistic people and healers and Reiki. I mean, Marseille's in it. Don't get me wrong here. But what I love about this conversation is that she's bringing it down to earth and calling out some people in the community for just being full of it in a very, how should I put this, Los Angeles sort of way. You'll hear what I mean. Love Marseille Butler. Love the honesty. Love her show. Definitely check it out. And this is just it's a fun, riveting conversation. Now, the other thing I'm going to say is that this Sunday, if you're listening to this, I'm going to post the link in the show notes. A friend of mine who I met at a conference about a month ago or so, probably 2 months now, Jerome Calver. He's the founder of the Present Time Alignment Method. It's a new way of doing personal change work. It's not hypnosis. It uses pure consciousness to align you very quickly. He's agreed to do a live demonstration on me of his latest work with this technology that aligns you quickly. I mean, he says he's going to knock my skeptic mind out of there and map my mind out, show me the map. It's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a Q&A session. That is taking place this Sunday, August 15th. Note that date, this Sunday, August 15th, at 8 p.m. New York Eastern Standard Time. Yes, 8 p.m. Check out Jerome Calver doing personal change work on me. There are going to be two sessions. He's doing Q&A. He believes he's, this man has already messed with my brain a lot. It's going to be an amazing live session of Open Loops being broadcast to Facebook. I'll probably even turn on the YouTube channel of Open Loops for that, because I haven't been doing anything with that for a while. And or at least I'll link Jerome's YouTube channel, because, hey, it's going to be, this man is really good at what he does. Let me just put it that way. I'm always looking for the cutting edge in personal change. Hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, whatever it is. Jerome's on top of it. He's really good. Really good. Now, of course, if you enjoy Open Loops, please make sure to follow this podcast and whichever platform you can. If you could please rate the show and leave a review, please. It definitely helps get this content out there. I'm so happy that I got Marseille on this show. She's awesome. Check her out. Marseille Butler coming up. Today on Open Loops, somebody that I've wanted to have on for a long time, the legendary Marseille Butler. Yes, she is a legend. She is the host of the Esoteric Negro, host and creator, and that is a provocative title right there. But by design, I'm guessing, because Marseille is a devotee of all things weird, just like me. This is why I feel such a connection to you. You love the weirdness. You're about this esoteric, mystical, metaphysical space, and it blends with art as well. And specifically, you know, what interests me about Marseille is, she's really diving into the perspective from the Black, Indigenous, and other people of color angle, which seems even underrepresented in the New Age and spiritual community. We're going to go into all of that. Marseille, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. You are 10 times the better public speaker that I am, but I appreciate
intro. Well, look, I appreciate that, though. Of course, you know, you felt compelled enough to start this podcast and speak from this perspective that since I started this about a year ago, I noticed that, I mean, I look through my guest list and I'm going, oh yeah, that's a lot of white people. I don't know if it just came from that. I think you probably also did have interest in counterculture as well that you wanted to explore, that you may have explored no matter what race or sex or background.
Right.
But I am curious, where did you find the need to bring forth this voice of yours?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the deconstruction movement.
Little bit, but yeah, go. What's that? Can you give a broad?
I grew up very evangelical, and I had, you know, there at a certain age, I sort of had all these interests that I was told shouldn't be my interests, whether it was magic or horror movies, supernatural, all those things were, you know, even certain genres of music were very taboo and off-putting, especially like in the late 90s and early 2000s. So for me, this has been like a lifelong something that these topics are some things I've always been drawn to, but in some ways felt a lot of guilt to explore because of my upbringing. And not that my parents were totally religious, but I just spent a lot of time in evangelical school growing up in South Texas, that I just didn't feel comfortable, or I always had like an apprehension. And then I think that part of which was the spooky catalyst, I guess, or the catalyst was moving to LA and being like surrounded by, you know, obviously the world of woo and people just being more open to talking about these things. LA, the city definitely, for what it's worth, it is definitely, it has that Hollywood Babylon reputation, but there is an openness to, there's something interesting and mystical happening here. I don't know, I can't necessarily put my finger on it. There's other people that have the expertise, but it definitely made me feel comfortable exploring these topics and, you know, being like, okay, this is me. Like, these are my conclusions that I've come up with about all of this, or my suspicions, because I'm not certain. I don't have this sense of certainty that some people have.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wait a minute. So this is already you've pulled me in two directions, which is the sign of what should be a very interesting interview for me. I'm drawn. You've made me curious already, because I was gonna ask about, you know, oh, did you feel like you were, what was there a taboo against you leaving and going to LA? Did you have a community of people that were going, Marseille, don't do it, that's a devil's town, all that kind of stuff? But I don't even care about that. What I care about is the mystical piece of Los Angeles for a second. We can get back to that. I think we might get back to it. That is the first time I've ever thought about it that way. And I know we've talked about this before. We've been on Clubhouse talking about this before. This idea of the spiritual influencer, the person that is using spirituality, or at least very much seems like they're using it, while really what they're putting forth is the same superficial crap that most models and actors and people that are in Los Angeles trying to do. It just gives them a bit of an edge. Maybe they're a failed actor, so if they took a class on the chakras, all of a sudden they become more of a commodity. I do think that happens out there. This is the first time I've ever thought about the idea of Los Angeles itself being a hub of spirituality, because there is something actually mystical out there. What do you mean by that? Can you go into that more? That's very curious to me.
So I've heard different theories and scenarios. Like, I've heard that there were a group of indigenous people or native people that would not populate this particular part of the California because they felt like it was a vortex of some kind. I've heard that. I've heard that there's an interview with They Have Passed Away. There's an interview, if you guys look on I forget, but it's a Genesis Peorage, I believe, did an interview where they talked about the city having like a weird energy, and then all the kinds of weird things would happen when they lived here. It's just something that are, even musicians, especially like in the Lower Canyon, I've all heard all these things about LA having like this mystical element, or this undercurrent of some kind of energy that I won't say, a lot of people like love to say, oh, it's evil, you know, whatever. I don't think it's necessarily evil. I just think that I think it's transformative in the way that larger cities tend to do to people. I think that's the rational way to explain it. It's also if you don't have the mental, I guess, fortitude to handle a larger city, then LA will certainly do that, either chew you up or spit you out. And I know people say that about New York City, but it's totally different. I feel like
I was going to say, I do not know if there's anything mystical about this city. Well, I do think there are. I think there are hubs of mysticism. I think there are people that claim they have mysticism. I don't know if I've ever walked into a building in this city and all of a sudden felt like I'm ascending the levels of consciousness. If anything, I feel like I'm going lower, which makes me go, oh my gosh, I need to go to Los Angeles or something like that, which, again, I guess that speaks to the point. Maybe that's it. May I don't know. I mean, tell me more about this hellscape that I occupy, Marcel. And how do I, what, I don't know. I mean, that's such an interesting idea.
It's a city of illusion, though, you know? And so I think what happens to a lot of people is they come out here with a lot of optimism and talent. And they realize that really none of those things matter in your success, right? Or how successful you are. There are a lot of people, talented people here that haven't quote unquote made it, as they say. And I think that with spirit, what happens with spirituality, people try to find, are trying to find themselves and try to, okay, who am I outside of this thing that I thought I was, or this thing that I was trying to be? And then what happens is, it's like a lot of what happens, also what happens in mainstream, a lot of mainstream religions, it's just like people have the same kind of, end up with the same kind of zeal. And I'm hip to it because I grew up evangelical and I've seen it. It's kind of like people it's like people take on a, it takes on a different form of narcissism. That makes
that
sense.
That is interesting.
So that's what I've perceived. And the only reason why I'm like, you know, in any way kind of hip to it is just because like I had that prosperity gospel. I grew up in that. And so some of the same behaviors I see in a lot of folks that are in the woo community and the new age community out here.
Tell me about that. When you say prosperity gospel, I had someone on this show at one point that was talking very early on in a pointed way, probably a little too judgmentally, but it's fine. I tried to egg it out of him about Christian hedonism and the idea of using Jesus as a way of financial abundance. You pray to the Lord and you're going to – all the stuff you hear with The Secret, but mm-hmm. just – put Jesus in instead, and it's the same right. exact stuff. Right. Is that what you grew up with, or do you mean something else?
Yeah, I mean, well, and I'll preface this because I don't want people, my family might be listening, and I know they don't want to be associated with some of that, but I know that basically what happened was I grew up Baptist, but because churches like that are affiliated, I say, with like what Joel Osteen in Lakewood. These yes. churches often have schools, so that are affiliated with like the 700 Club. Like they're part of these huge non-denominational networks, and they have these schools. And so, if you're in a rural area and there's a school like that, most of the time people would rather. And during that time, they're like, okay, these schools are going to be safe. They cost money, but they're private and Christian, so my kid will get. They'll be better than the public schools in the area. Hmm. They're going to better education. So that was her thinking. But to get back to prosperity gospel, it kind of swept through. It's funny how that kind of thinking swept through in the late 90s during the best economic times. Yeah. It's kind of still prevalent today. But this idea that your devotion to your spiritual beliefs will be evident through your monetary, how well you're doing monetarily.
Wow.
So. Yes,
that's such a presupposition.
Teaching that those things are your faith is directly related to who your prosperity and your monetary wealth, and that is so. I feel now, at the time, it's like, oh yeah, well, if you believe and you pray hard enough and you do, you do the work you're supposed to do, but if you have faith, anything can happen, right? Mm. And what you learn, or what I picked up on early on through like. Just different things happening, life things, like people die, like you have a friend that a teenager dies in a car wreck or an untimely death, and how do you explain those things? And oftentimes some of those things were explained with, not by the pastors that I went to church with. They would never say anything like this, but some folks would say, well, they were out of line with God. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. It's very cult adjacent. Hmm. And the idea that, people that are this idea that pastors, they do devote their lives to ministry. So why should they be poor? Why should they live a life of solitude, right? Why should they live this way? Because they are dedicating their lives to ministry. And it's like this idea that not only does God not want you to be poor, God doesn't want your pastor poor. He wants your congregation to have a ton of money. And this is what, and also on top of that, will add the emotional manipulation of this idea that the one spirit, the Holy Spirit is inhabiting the space that you're worshiping in. So if anything outside of that, and you can't really name, now I'm getting into the speaking in tongues thing, right? And that whole thing, these yeah. experiences can only happen facilitated in this way. So
did it ever work? So you're telling me that right now is a complete illusion. You've never, from what you saw, from what you know of this messaging, it sounds very positive. It sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Put money in the basket every week and it's going to come back to you tenfold. But then it always seems, at least the scammers in the documentaries point out that it's usually just the guy at the top that gets the money, and maybe there's also abuse going on and all this stuff, and the people in the past they buy into these false beliefs. Could this model ever work, or did you always find it to be just completely smoke and mirrors?
there's some amazing people that actually care that are able to do things, and like we were able to do things together. But there is a level of toxicity that I wouldn't suggest or put anybody through. Because at the end of the day, you can't run it's running spirituality like a corporation. And granted, that may not be some of the politics of some of your listeners or some of the folks that listen to me, but I just feel like running spirituality in that way to me is very unethical.
That's what I was going to ask about next. Yeah. As somebody that delves into these fringe topics, and I'm sure encounters especially people in LA who are making their living guiding people, coaching people on different spiritual practices. Yeah. How much of it, okay, here's my question for you. I guess I'm wondering, how much of it is the same thing just with different labels, a different form of spirituality, whether it's quantum mechanics, whether it's, the chi power of abundance, financial abundance? Because to me, it seems that way. And if it is that, do you think that there is any spiritual component to financial abundance whatsoever? What is your relationship to spirit and financial prosperity, I guess, is really what I'm asking.
I would say to the first part of that, I think 80% of it is. I think that I was talking to a friend who's a medium, and she was saying, and she's a tarot reader, and she was saying that the market is, she said it's oversaturated. Like everybody's doing tarot readings, and especially because we live in an economic downturn. And what I found, to be honest, some folks won't like it when I say this, was because we have normal gigs. But as soon as quarantine happened, everybody's a healer now. Everybody's a tarot reader now. Everybody has some kind of spiritual business or some kind of, whether it's breath work, everybody's doing something metaphysical during quarantine. And also it's like, this person paid me $100 to do something that they could essentially do for themselves, right? Essentially read your own tarot. You could essentially ask for knowledge, divination. You can essentially do that for yourself. But because I'm telling them and they're paying me upwards of $100, $200 to do it, this is supple. And I don't have to clock in. I don't have to report taxes, right? So to me, it just seemed like the same thing. Non-denominational churches are tax-free. They pretty much set their own hours. They get to travel. They get to do all these things. So to me, it seemed to me, And so the second part of that is, do I believe in financial abundance, spirituality? I do. But there is a fine line which humans cannot help themselves in order to cross, is this idea of exploitation, exploiting others, right? I have, full disclosure, I read tarot. I don't do it very often. But I probably could make a decent, probably quit my job and have a decent clientele if that's what I chose to do. But in people have asked me. And so what I do is there's about three people that I know that I can refer people to if they need some kind of spiritual counseling, or I tell them that, to do it themselves. Because, there is this, now people are, selling spell work, curses and whatnot. And to me, some of these things, while I support some of the practitioners that have been doing these things for a long time, some of this stuff doesn't need to be on social media. Some of these things need to be done in private. There is just an overexposure that's happening that is directly related to the spirituality ink, the esoteric metaphysical ink. And you have people like Gwyneth Paltrow No offense, Gwyneth Paltrow, she's listening, but it's like you have people like that to thank for, people that are going to, that want these spiritual experiences that are like, okay, well, Gwyneth Paltrow told me to go on an ayahuasca trip. I'm going to go do that now, So it's kind of like what happens. And then like in the end, like we end up with a watered down version of what these things actually mean. There's people that are like, I don't know if I sent you this video on TikTok. There was a guy who said, I can read this book without even opening it. And he put his hand over and he put it to the pillow. He put the book under his pillow overnight, right? And he's like, I'll be able to absorb it. The universe is going to give it to me, And people were just like, what are you talking about? So again, like, I think
was he being real or was he messing around?
He's being 100% serious.
What? Did he prove it the next day? Who is this man?
I forget what his TikTok is, but I'll see the TikTok. But it was like all the rage on TikTok. He was like, I can I have people think that they have all these powers, you know, all these like mystical powers now. And a lot of it is just like, people are just, there's so much uncertainty
yeah.
in the world right now. And I think that's where it's coming from. But yeah, is it directly, I do believe in making stuff happen. I do believe that these things are possible, but I also, but in a grounded way to where it's like, I don't know for certain who or what is clearing my path, right? But I'm glad that they're doing it, or that thanks yeah. God, whoever else, whatever that energy is, whatever that invisible hand is, I'm glad that it's happening. But I'm
yeah,
not,
you're
but it's
so
not up
right.
to me to like, to grift, to be a grifter, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, I always look for, I guess it's just my nature, the extreme of where movement can go, and then where it could tip in the other direction. And my thought is this, I mean, after a certain point, Marseille, it might become cool to start doing accounting work again and being really present and being very present with it.
Yeah.
Just this idea of, because you read about it in all the books, I think people really, I mean, look, I do it on this show for entertainment, but I also do it because I'm just naturally curious about it, to learn about the depths of where these esoteric practices go, just because, well, hey, I mean, my imagination's been stimulated by this stuff since I was a kid, so I'm going to follow that passion. But that said, I think people that jump into it without really, they're jumping into it to commodify it somehow, they're not reading the first 10 chapters of every Zen book, which is the master making you lift rocks and move them from one pile to another, which
yes.
is really what spirituality is based on. There's no way everybody that is now charging for tarot card readings have gone through that rock lifting
yes.
process. I just don't buy it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, do we think all these people are making money? All these coaches? Are they all
I think some of them are. I think some of these people with the advent of Cash App, I mean, if you're on Cash App and you're giving general, especially YouTube, these YouTube readers, like it used to be like maybe a couple of them. And now like you type in your zodiac sign and then 20 readings for that week or that day in the last few hours show up, right? And part of me thinks like maybe they're not making enough from the views. But if you think about it, and if it resonates with someone, they get 1,000 views, maybe they get 200-300 clients, charging $100 a piece.
Yeah.
You know, so it really, as much as we, I think as much as even might be skeptical of how much they're making, if you even charge, like if you have like 100 people and you say, hey, $10 per person, you know, that's still a good side hustle at the very least, you know, and now people are making, and the ATR and the African traditional religions have come back to play. Now you have everybody making a High John the Conqueror oil mojo bags and those things. And I understand the want to get back into those practices for POC, but also like, you know, again, like it's not something that people should be doing all willy nilly and overnight. And kind of just, you know, dipping their toe in and into stuff that like, you know, that needs, it's just like, and that's just how it is. Like we live in a time, and I've been guilty of this. We live in a time where folks we live in a hyper identity factionalism time right now. And I've been guilty of this, like hyper, you know, really hyper into my identity, but at the same time, it's almost, and I say this as I approach this with caution, it's almost become like it's too much, because now we have folks that are so interested in picking a new identity, right? And identities are new and easily accessible. And now you have people just making up shit. just like making, and I don't mean like, I'm not talking about gender or anything like that. I mean, like, for instance, like there's a new, now you have, there is, because of there's some holes in history, now you have a whole bunch of African-Americans, and there were African-Americans or Africans who were indigenous and were Native American and Indian, but now, you know, they say, oh, well, there's no slave ship, so we're Indians, so we have rights to this land because we were not brought over here during the slave trade, because you cannot prove there are no slave ships left to look at and all that. This is like the most insane stuff,
yeah.
But Yeah, and stuff like that. So it's just like,
I was actually going to ask you about this. I
yeah.
noticed in general, because I get these notifications on Clubhouse all the time. For you specifically, I always get a notification that says Marseille is talking about the death of post-capitalism with regard to race relate. Like, I get these notifications every day, and I'm going, huh, wait a minute. She hosts a show with the word esoteric in it. And all it seems that she's doing these days is having political discussions. And I was wondering about it, but now I'm thinking it almost seems like in order to keep the purity of what you started with your podcast, you have to meet people at the truth of these social and racial issues first. It's getting muddied in a way. It's getting muddied by this desire to create these new identities. So I can understand how you're going, wait a minute, wait a minute. Everybody's now doing voodoo casually. Let's talk about where this actually comes from. Let's talk about the significance of this because I don't have time to talk about magic. I need to talk about who we really are first. Is that really where you're at right now?
I think so, and I think also, I'm gonna be honest, like a lot of the folks that I talk to are very they're very politically active and they're really interested and invested in this cultural war. I am not. I mean, I am and I'll discuss it, but
Yeah, you've been discussing it
also
a lot, it seems. I've been
been discussing it a
surprised.
lot, listening a lot as well. I think that yeah, you have to, because a lot of what we're seeing that's happening is related politically. And I think Mitch Horowitz talks about this a lot, how like social movements and magic and esoteric have always have a deep history. And I think that's kind of what's happening too. On the other hand, to be, full disclosure, a lot of these folks, someone said, I read this quote the other day that someone said neuroscience is the new occult. We're seeing that too. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, what do you mean by that? Yeah, blow my mind a little bit with that. I'm
yeah,
ready.
someone said neuroscience is the new occult. I don't know where, I don't know if it was on Reddit or what, but I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense because you have a lot of folks that are like, we also have reached, there's a side of this that people are very hyper rational. And so some of the secular movements, or the secular movement, I guess if there is one happening right now, it's very into like the neuroscience of the Sam Harris's of the world, that sort of thing. So a lot of those folks, when you bring up like the cultural things or magical things, they just think that like, you have some kind of, then they turn a psychologist and got a mental illness. So it when we talked about this last time, we talked about not really being able to enjoy the ride and have fun. That's also what's happening. Because a lot of folks, it's very serious to them. It is about connecting to a culture and connecting to things that have been somehow taken away from them culturally. And the other side is like, I want to abandon that in order to step into this new future that we're about to step into. We have to abandon all those things. So yeah, so if the politics part is right, politics do play a huge role in some of the stuff that we talk about in the podcast. And I mean, and also we just left a really big political year,
Yeah.
but yeah, like I'm always in those rooms somehow, some way. And
I
also the other
know.
rooms, but the other rooms, it's filled with, I feel like people like us, and I hate to speak for you, I feel like right now we're kind of people, a man without a country. Because I feel like a lot of the rooms that are based on spirituality is very much like how to manifest this. It's all secret based and the woo stuff. And I just, not that I don't find any of it valuable, but I just, I'm not interested. There's 20 rooms where it's like, let me read your chart, let me give you a free reading. It feels
Right.
like real Vegas-y,
Did you go through that phase at all? Were you ever, was there a period of time where I would have found you with all the Law of Attraction books and then you moved on to ghosts for a while and then you moved to conspiracy? I mean, what were the, because yeah, I mean, even on your website, you're talking about queerness and theater and blackness and femininity and ecstasy and all things that also, I mean, I have a background as an actor. I was always drawn to existentialism and expressionism and theater, and that also stimulates my mind when it comes to a lot of these esoteric principles. I wonder, yeah, what were the various paranormal or I suppose esoteric phases of Marcy Butler?
I think the paranormal was the first place that I the pers the stop the pursuit of the paranormal.
Did
I
you have an
was very,
experience?
yeah, I mean, And obviously most people from the South are very superstitious, and you know, especially Black people in the South are very superstitious. We had my youngest memories, we had my great great aunt was really famous for reading cartomancy in our town. Like that's what she did for a lot of folks. So I remember being very little, like looking at her reading playing cards, and then like being around her quite a bit when we would visit. And so she was kind of a medium and like brought up in that tradition, but she wasn't someone, again, and sometimes in households where people are very Christian, she wasn't at that time really given the respect that she deserved, I felt like.
Yeah. Was she charging for it at all, or was this just a thing she did?
I think she had another job. I think it's just, you know, there was a time where these folks were revered by the community in a way, but also like hidden away. Like,
I love that. I want to be taken to that world again. Yes.
Where it's like, you know, if you have something going on in your family, you can't put your finger on it. Somebody knows somebody that sends you to this woman. She's going to like smoke cigarettes and tell you everything. Right.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Those kind of people, like you got to go down a dirt road to be,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
That's the best kind of that's the kind of experiences that I remember having early on in that world or whatever. So, and then I got really interested in like out of body experiences. I felt like I was having some lucid dreams. The dream world was really like where my past started. And then I got introduced randomly one day watching television to like Edgar Cayce.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just thought that was the gateway drug. It's like, okay, this guy would fall asleep and he would, you know.
Yes, my grandfather was a huge Edgar Cayce fan.
Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is cool. And that's how the interest started. But as I went along in school, it was just like, you know, that's the devil, blah, 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 blah. The only prophetic things and can be, you know, it has to come through this person this way. And I always kind of like thought it was strange. But, you know, in any good religion, like the guilt has to work to make you like not question it and just like, you know, okay, I'm wrong. I need to purge myself of this. These feelings are bad. It's all about suppression, right? And I remember being really interested in magic as well. And that was like another no-no. It was just like, you know, it's just these people were still in the midst of like some kind of satanic panic. I remember, you know, people breaking their CDs, or rock CDs with their, you know, we went through that. I mean, you probably didn't.
Yeah, but Marilyn Manson was considered, yes.
So around that time, it was just kind of like anything that was just like, you're going straight to hell. And I just had a couple experiences, you know, even I would go back and forth. And then after a while, I was just like, you know what, I guess I'm going to hell. So there you go.
Was there a moment where you really had to own this identity of being as esoteric as you are?
Yeah. And I think that was when also knowing people that I'd grown up with that were queer and gay that kind of hit it, and then how that was handled seemed very, did not feel like what was taught this way and then shown another way, right? And so it just felt very wrong to me and still feels wrong, right? So I started, and then you meet people that have different belief systems. You know, I was always, and then realizing and actually getting, and this is why theology is so important and religious studies are so important, because when I started going to college, I was like, oh, well, the Buddhism isn't idol worship. Buddha is not, that's what I was always told, that it was idol worship and that he was a god. He was God, and that he worshiped him. And that was the end of the story, when that was not the case at all. Yeah. So you start realizing these people that were giving you answers had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. And you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, and then for some of my friends, it became, you know, they went to the church of Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and that whole section thing at church. They'd probably be pissed off I said church, but they went to that school of thought.
And I was there for a bit.
I went
too.
To the other one. I was like, finally, I can be weird. I can, you know, talk to people. I want to talk to people that have had UFO experiences. Those are the people, this is the people that I want to talk to, you know, people in bars with weird stories. I was always the person that like in a dive bar, people are like, please don't get them. I want to hear the rest of what he's saying. So just hang tight. Like,
yes.
Whatever this weirdo is going to tell us is probably going to be infinitely more interesting than what we're going to talk about.
That is so me too, Marseille. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I am so with you here. This is exactly why, that's why I had to start this show. I mean, it really is. It's I thought these conversations, I just love talking to people that are weird, and I needed a platform to do it. And you know, I think it's a shame that that authentic brand of weird is tainted by the ways that people are making money through it now. I mean, on one level, there's the I do think that the fact that people talk about the laws of her the hermetic principles of wealth and stuff like that, at the very least, okay, we're getting hermetics out there. People are saying that, and people maybe wouldn't have. But at the same time, yeah, the watered down thing definitely, oh gosh. I mean, do white people just ruin everything? Is that really what it comes down to?
I
I don't
want to
know.
say, you get me in trouble for saying that, but I
No,
think
I'm not gonna
that
say that, but I definitely I know
I don't think so. I think that certainly I've had critiques, but I, in an effort to be a little bit more diplomatic, I'll say that that the folks that maybe we accuse of ruining things, maybe they were looking for something too. And maybe it was just easier for them to adopt whatever that is and have their own. Sometimes people get really excited about stuff, and they and people folks get really excited about stuff and then they want to put their own it's just like you got a recipe, you want to put your own seasoning or whatever in it. And sometimes it shouldn't be, you shouldn't. Sometimes,
Yeah.
if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I feel like that's maybe the case. I mean, but there's definitely elements, I will say, of spirituality, like especially in the Zen community and in the Buddhist community and even with yoga, where things have definitely been commodified in a way that's a little unsettling.
Yeah.
And also, again, like it's easier for me to take on this identity without really doing the work. Like there are a ton, I have a ton of shit that I need to read that I haven't even talked about on the podcast that folks are just like, we're shifting into 5D. And it's just like, well, who started this 5D thing and what does it mean?
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think we are? Yeah. What do you think about that? And people that claim that we're the awakening is no. It's really here this time, not the one that we said in the 70s and the 60s. And then, oh, if you go back to the awakening in the 1800s, and then you go further back, everybody says there's another awakening, and it keeps happening. There's always an awakening. It's always an idea. Yeah, we're going into the 5D. We're awakening. It's happening. We're all getting closer. One consciousness, one love, all this stuff. Really? What do you think?
I think it's a PTSD maybe, or and I'm not a doctor, but it feels like some kind of like nervous breakdown in a way, that folks are trying to say, oh, we're just shifting into a higher consciousness, maybe. But I also feel like that doesn't really lend itself respectfully to the rest of the world. I think that's a very Western maybe point of view. Because I would think that maybe if folks that don't have all those first world folks that have some of the things that other folks had don't have maybe in the global South and other parts of the world that they don't have, that we none of us are enlightened enough. And to me, like from what I gather from the 5D thing, because I've talked about this with the folks, it really just feels like another night, like a human dark night of the soul, like a collective, another collective dark, like we're being purged of stuff that we need and don't need. But that's happened throughout time, because there's also a doomsday kind of aspect to it that I don't really re that doesn't resonate with me. I'm always, again, like maybe it's just me because I've been involved in evangelical world and the left, so-called left behind stuff, so
Oh,
for so
yeah.
long that a lot of it feels like this just sounds like some kind of like baptism rapture remix to me. I don't know. You know what I
Baptism
mean?
Rapture Remix. I know,
That's
that
what it
sounds pretty
feels like, some
awesome.
of it. But I mean, if we are shifting, great. I've definitely grown spiritually in the past 6 years, it's undeniable, that I ever have in my entire life. I'm more comfortable now. But could it be because I'm in my 30s and I'm comfortable in my own skin? So I think that, like, while they may be right, who knows, there's just not enough healthy skepticism and groundedness is what the gripe that I have.
Yeah. I wrestle with it every day. I don't know about if I've heard multiple perspectives on this show. I've heard some people say that, look at Indigo children. Look at these kids that are waking up. You meet 5-year olds that are smarter than ever, and they're more empathetic, and the fact that humans are coming into this earth already more intuitive means that something is happening. We're evolving to the next level. That there's that. And then I've heard the technology perspective, that the fact that we can telepathically, one of my life coach, old life coach, Spencer Burnett, he said, you know, you can order a pizza telepathically now. You can say you want a pizza in your head, push a few buttons, and then a human being will come and deliver it to you without saying a word. Is that not kind of telepathy? Are we not moving towards a place where we're collectively coming together and that could be seen as a good thing? At the same time, though, I just go, yeah, but spirituality can be so vague and so abstract, and frankly, so trance-inducing. I mean, people use it as a way of pulling people into trance states that are just ultimately meaningless but feel significant, that maybe it's just us looking for meaning. We're pattern-seeking creatures. We look for patterns. We try to see things that we claim they're all together. But there's a conspiracy theory about, I think, human beings are more conspiratorial and thinking than they give themselves credit for about everything.
About everything. Everything. Yeah, I have friends like that. I have a friend that's, every time a celebrity dies, well, are you sure that's what happened?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, where are you on that spectrum of conspiracy? Because you definitely have had people on your show and that flirt in that perspective, or at least the occult is often tied to conspiracy.
I think there is there's a lot of, I mean, obviously we have the CIA and all these other things, the government, you know what I mean? I definitely believe in quite a bit of those things, but also bad things do happen to people. I think that sometimes people forget about how cruel and non, sometimes there's no dots to connect. Sometimes people just die. People just die all the time. And so in an effort to remain grounded, I have to keep that in the back of my head. And I think that, yes, there's a lot of, like, I guess what conspiracy do I believe in? I do believe, you know, recently with this, everybody's like, look, the CIA published all this stuff. This is, you know, about
UFOs, the UAP movement.
Yes. And all those things. And I believe in a lot of that, but it's like, oh, well, you know, the government, they admitted that you can time travel and all those things. Part of me, I'm curious in what we don't know.
Yeah,
I'm curious in what's not being revealed. I'm not curious in the things that we can kind of connect the dots, because I feel like there's always something. There's the things that they are concealing, and I use they very loosely here. Those are the things that I'm more curious about. Like, okay, they've said that all these things are happening, these things are possible. So what are they like hiding behind their back? Like, you know, what are they distracting us from? And I think that's the real. I think that part of the real, you know, thing is to keep us in a state of confusion, and to keep us from, this is going to sound really Marxist, but I'm not, I think that if they can even distract us with spirituality, the occult, and keep us distracted with these conspiracies, it keeps us from demanding a better life for our material conditions. Right. So that's what I think. That's what I think of. It's like, well, you know, the more time we spend on some of these things, like I, you know, even as things that are identity is very important to me, but also the less time we spend on addressing the class issue and all these other issues, the less unified we are, the more we're like splitting hairs, and you know, we're not demanding things that we need for survival, and they keep, you know, and they're rocketing to the moon without a big stink. So that's what I think. I think that while some of these things are true, that I feel like any way they can keep us, you know, distracted over here so they can go over here and do whatever plans they have, you know, plans for humanity. I think that's the case. And I think they'll do it all the way up to their last space shuttles, all the way up to Mars. They land on Mars and we're all, you know, still squabbling.
Yeah.
And I hate to say, it took me a long time to get to that conclusion. Because there are some important injustices that I do believe need to be addressed, but it's also an undeniable, like a thing in my mind now that's completely undeniable, especially with the internet and like the fact that like there are things that people that are factual that people can't even agree on at this point. People are leaning into their own biases in a way that's really unsettling. I've done it. Interested in all these things,
I've done it too.
Yeah, I know. We've all done it. So while I'm interested in all these things, like I have to, for me, it's like I have to keep that in perspective. But yeah, there's a couple of like I definitely, you know, as far as some of the assassinations go, you can, and I feel like you can tell when the CIA is all over something. You know, I don't know but there's some deaths. It's just like come on now, like that. He probably kind of heart. Like I had a friend that was like, "Well, what do you think they did to Luke Perry?" And I was like, "Luke Perry, he's in his 50s, probably had a stroke." I mean,
right.
I don't know what he and that's very prevalent for out here, because everybody thinks that Hollywood is the center of all the conspiracy theories and stuff. And I know there are people that practice the occult magic. Kenneth Anger's out here, and I know that he has a history in Antoine LaVey, but half the time I really think that the folks that are really powerful are not out in front like that. And I think that you know, it's a bunch, sometimes it can be just a bunch of assholes getting together and chanting. And
I was going to say, how close to, you know, Maria Abramovic, Bill Gates parties where they're eating kids? I mean, how close to that Hollywood have you seen in Los Angeles?
I have not seen, I've heard of some of that type stuff. I do, because I do have an art background. I don't know about spirit. I don't necessarily believe in spirit cooking, and I believe that if spirit cooking was actually happening, then it wouldn't be like performance art of some kind. I don't know. I'm really skeptical when it comes to that kind of stuff, because I feel like, especially in some of the groups that I've been in, where people talk about it, obviously these people don't have any kind of, these people aren't familiar with performance art as an art, as a medium, right? And they can't, they automatically, people take creativity very, very literally, right?
Yeah.
In a way that's like, well, you know, they don't think of performance art and some of these artists making statements as they would like a movie, for instance, you know, but people will find things in movies like they're trying to sensitize as they're cooking children or whatever. I don't think that, and also I don't think that like they think that cooking children would be a way to stay young, right? I think they have, I mean, once they found the, you know, once they stem cells came along, they've probably been stem selling themselves up. I don't think they need to kill kids. You know, it's just that kind of like, it's
right.
Like
yeah.
Entered into a digital dark age in a way, you know,
it is
where
kind
it's
of
like,
true. Some people are putting these ideas forth that they are, there's an agenda and they're trying to make us more comfortable with these things that were considered taboo and considered anti-Christian and all these things, and I'm going, yeah, but I have not. I'm around people in this culture. I see people in the United States. There is no one that I know of that I've met personally that is going, well, you know what? Because of all the stuff I'm watching, it feels that pedophilia is more normal.
Yeah.
Like nobody is doing that. This idea that there's this agenda to transform the culture to accept these things, I don't think it has legs to stand on most of the time.
And if I wasn't evangelical, I wouldn't have picked up on it. It just seems like more satanic panic bullshit than actually knowing anything about Nicole, right?
Right. Yeah, I just don't. And it's crazy the way people latch on to beliefs and believe this stuff is really happening. You know, I want to ask you something about when it comes to the esoteric realm, and giving voice to people of color, in this field of things. Do you think there are differences? Like, what's the difference between, I guess you could call this show the esoteric Jewish Caucasian, the es versus the stuff that's happening on the esoteric Negro. Like, what do you think the are the subtle differences between esoteric that field from your lens and that cultural lens?
I don't know if there's a, I think for me culturally, I think it just, for me, it just signifies a different era of time where people of color are more interested in expressing a non-monolithic viewpoint of the world, right? And I think that's what it is, because for so long, when you, and I try to explain this to people, that people, about stereotypes and visibility and how people can assume because you are brought up a certain way or you look a certain way that this must be your belief system, right? And a friend of mine, one of the episodes we did, my friend Trace, we were talking about how like he really loved horror movies, you know, and he said that he rarely saw Black people in horror movies or just, you know, outside of the, you know, the stereotypical first scene. And he said, you know, and then he was watch, you know, would watch Star Trek and all these other stuff and wouldn't see a lot of Black people. And he was just like, you know, as a kid, he was like, I guess weird stuff doesn't happen to Black people, right? Like, that's what he started thinking because of these narratives. And
And
I,
you have white people on your show. That's the other thing for
oh,
people's
sure. Oh,
information. You
sure.
have,
Quite a few, quite a few.
yeah.
And, you know, and what's the interesting part is there are, I have a lot of people of color reach out to me and said, you know, I really enjoy this. I'm really glad that you're doing this. I also have enjoyed having, you know, the white people that have come on my show really just say, I'm glad that you're doing this. I want to talk about ATRs. I want to talk about these traditions that come from people of color in a way that is not exploitative, but educational. And I think that's what, and I think that was a part of it too. Like I was very strategic in the first season where I wanted to, we're going to do a 101. There was a episode that I wanted to do about Paulo Mayombe, and we've seen, you know, the whole people freaking out about Azalea Banks, the rapper. Like she like had mummified her cat, but she practices this tradition, and people were like, "She's weird, you know, it's evil." And really, it's a lot of the religions of the diaspora are not evil at all. There's no concept of, you know, in some of these traditions of there's no devil, there's no you know, these concepts of good and evil aren't just, they aren't necessarily the same as they are from Abrahamic religions. But because America is America and slavery, they hid so many of these, obviously you know this, they hid so many of these gods and deities behind the saints in order to practice these things. And so many of these traditions had to be handed down orally or through storytelling. Even in there was a guy that I follow, forget his name, but he was talking about how he was handed down a recipe book, and he was like, a lot of these remedies and a lot of these spirituality traditions, he's like, you can even find it in recipes, right? So you have like traditions of the Gullah Geechee people, Black people that were kind of self-sufficient communities that would, you know, have these practices and beliefs and held on to them in the way they could that wouldn't get lost. So for me, it was about not only talking about topics that I wanted to talk about, spirituality, right? And how these, the esoteric meets these traditions, because a lot of those traditions these cultists follow, they have bits and pieces of the ATRs in there. And then, you know, obviously we have some things that Western esotericism that, I mean, it all,
Right.
it there, I wanted to explore that intersect. And I wanted people on that are willing to acknowledge that. And also to restore dignity to some of these belief systems, right, that have been kind of demonized for whatever reason. And that was that was initially the goal, you know, to do that, to have folks on that were open to it and that had like some of the, you know, more popular occultists kind of delve into some of those topics and talk about them with me, as opposed to, you know, other folks. And then, you know, generate interest, and hopefully that other people that are like me don't feel alone out there, that they can do the same thing. You know, it's not, you don't have to be so locked in and tied down into being afraid of things. You know, I don't want to be afraid of belief systems or, you know, beliefs and stuff like that. So I hope that, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, hey, it's a very broad question. It's, yeah, I guess I get so curious about indigenous traditions and specific magic towards, you know, I mean, I want to, and perhaps it's just my imagination. I mean, when I hear that, I remember seeing a video in high school of, I forget this guy's name, some Zen, I think it was some chi master, and this guy was putting his hand up and making things burn with making paper burn just because he'd mastered his chi, and they're going, yes, this is ancient Chinese secrets and da 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 da, which at one level I'm going, okay, you know what, this just seems like it's a little Americanization and probably, yeah, definitely racist at some level. And at the same time, you know what, there is a lot of talk about, there's enough people out there talking about it that I haven't really done the work to go to China and sit with someone that claims they're a chi master and experience falling over simply by having someone put their arm up across the room, which some people have claimed they've experienced, not even over there in this country. So this idea of being able to really do a, I suppose, you know what it is? And this is why, again, I know I jokingly blamed white people for ruining things earlier, but
I just don't want to get any more trouble, so that's
why. No. I know you didn't say that. I was jokingly saying it. But also, when I went to Italy back in 2015, I just remember seeing all these tourists, and again, mostly Caucasian tourists, mostly seemed like girls in high school and in college and people that just, it felt like, and again, maybe this is me putting my judgment on them. I know it is at some level. It felt as if they were doing tourism wrong. It felt as if they were just there. They're in Italy there so they can take pictures of themselves and enjoy the things you're supposed to be enjoying. And I'm going, how do I, as somebody that wants to explore these traditions, do it in a way that isn't, you know, just isn't surface level, that isn't just going for what the way it's a packaged to me in an easy, accessible, fun way. If I'm really to travel and tour these different fields of study, you know, I really want to hear it from the people that are practicing it rather than the dude in Brooklyn who's throwing an ayahuasca bash in his apartment. That is not the way to do it. Do you have recommendations for doing that? I mean, is there a way to do it without spending a whole ton of money? Because that seems to be going around these days.
It's without spending a ton of money and then getting, you know, running to somebody that's full of shit. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot of judgments about tourism and then even dark tourism as well. I would say if you're interested, I feel like there's so many, and I hate to go to the academy for this. I feel like there's so many academics and anthropologists that have done ethical work on some of these things. I think they're good people to go to. And there's also there's a lot of practitioners that are on social media. There's the Trap Witch. She's awesome, and she's initiated into some of those traditions. She's really good. There are several, I can tell, I won't make a point about who to go to, but I will say what to look for.
Yeah. How would you distinguish?
The people that I look for are the people that are really interested in people's spiritual growth, but also they have the knowledgeable aspect as well, that I can tell that they're not in a sense like borrowing or talking out of their ass about it. They actually have, like, you can tell someone's like learned, or they've had these traditions passed down, right? So there's some, I always look at those folk, or people that are actually like born in a region where something's been practiced, right? Or it's someone that's been initiated. I mean, and also too, you have to be careful with the initiation, because sometimes people are initiated into things and they don't have the best intentions. There was a guy that was on TikTok recently that had a huge falling out because he told a woman from Haiti, a Haitian woman, that she didn't know shit about a religion. It's a white guy. And he had been initiated
Oh,
too.
gosh.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of that out there. So listening to people, you go to places, I think that actually going to places and listening to people that and listening to the stories of the people that live in that region are very important. I really, and I'm bringing him up right now because he's gone, but he was a huge, Anthony Bourdain was a huge influence on myself as far as like how he would approach food and culture. And I think people should have that same approach when it comes to belief systems of people of color, have that same kind of I'm a guest here and I want to hear your feelings and thoughts, kind of that approach is important, instead of like showing up somewhere and being like, look at this weird necklace they made me. Oh, this is a cute custom they do. Or this is very odd, this is very dark. Because for so long, the traditions of what people have, and this does not just this goes across the board with in the true crime community. I feel like people fetishize serial killers in a way that makes me uncomfortable.
Yes,
I feel like
that's what it is,
people
that
love the comfort of the
fetishization.
hotel.
Fetishing.
No.
Make it fetishization, I think, is the word. That's a great word for it.
People go to the Cecil for the wrong reason. I see people like, oh, I bought this stuff at a Botanica and now I'm going to the Cecil to see and to me, there's a line being blurred there, because we really have a problem, especially in this city, in homelessness, drug addiction, mental illness, and these people are now going to these places, not just for a haunt, but it's also, they talk about how dark it is, dark the energy it is. It's like, well, most motels, as my friend Darcy would say, are dark anywhere in the country. You
That's
know what I
so
mean? Because of
true.
the, yeah, you know what I mean? Anywhere in the country. And it's just like, people forget that these are also human beings, and this isn't a spectacle because these people have problems. And what would be more interesting to me if people say, okay, spooky things have happened, but what can we do to help the folks that are like, seem to be, no one ever talks about, people always talk about what to be afraid of, but never talking about a solution. You know what I mean? So yeah, and all the messed up stuff that happens instead of like the lives that are being affected. And I think that is what's important, is to have that kind of approach, not to be less of a voyeur in more, and again, the political thing comes back up, to be more engaging in your own community and be less of a voyeur and be less of like, let's see what the freak show is, So that's my.
Yeah, that is always, this is what's interesting, and I very much value this perspective that you have, Marseille, because you keep putting into my head different angles, different I mean the socioeconomic battles of spirituality and the messages that you're getting is just, it's not talked about enough. Originally that is the taboo. Originally, we were uncomfortable talking about UFOs. That's out there. Now, well, why does, what are the what about the suppressed stories about UFOs? What about the voices that don't get out there? All that stuff that twists things on its head a little bit, makes you realize how much more rich these topics are than what we're being presented in the mainstream popular media. But it also seems, I mean, I think it's also a lot to, I mean, I don't know what your recommendation is for calling into consciousness, these social issues in addition to spirituality, especially when often they are kind of, weirdly enough, there is an ideological battle going on in this country. I guess not weirdly enough, it's always happening. But where some people would say that, well, to start bringing identity politics into something is against this one consciousness that we're all trying to get to. Now, often is people, privileged people who are making money selling their spiritual teachings that say things like this. But yeah, I guess I'm curious, what is a healthy way of going about thinking from other perspectives beyond the mainstream? I can't even believe I'm saying this, the mainstream spiritual narrative.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I mean, and maybe this will be a part of my whole trajectory going forward. I think that the root of money, the root of all evil is money. I'm not saying people shouldn't monetize off spirituality, but I would say that that's where the problem is. And that to me is the most, this idea of greed is a huge problem. And in my opinion, it is not necessarily the identity problem. And this is, again, I guess I'm outing myself as a lefty here. I feel like it is a class issue. And I feel like that folks that are spiritual, like myself, who are, you know, maybe not, you know, a part of this rich class that a lot of these spiritual folks service, and they become a part of that class, right? That we should be in solidarity with the people that, you know, this warriorism happens with, the mentally ill, with, you know, we should have that more solidarity with these folks than necessarily these folks. I feel like in the spiritual community, people would love, they love spirituality, but they want it to pay off, and they want to be in the rooms. They want to be the celebrity psychic. They want to want to be the celebrity guru, because Oprah had Super Soul Sundays and it's fashionable. But I don't really see that being implemented, or the Tony Robbins, Deepaks of the world having any interest in Skid Row, right? Yes. Or any interest in these homeless solutions. And I'm not trying to sound sanctimonious. I mean, if people think that, that's fine, but it's also like, when you,
I'm so with you. I'm so with you about that. Yes.
Because if you really have these gifts, right? If you really have this influence in your gifts, that would be so beneficial to some of these folks, right? Or to some folks like myself. Yes. And you shouldn't extort, it shouldn't, you know, at least just like with doctors, you know, some doctors do pro bono work, or lawyers do pro bono work, or whatever, right? It should be the same thing in the spiritual community, you know, and like, some people are like, oh, well, they offer one free class. But it's like, if people are like working paycheck to paycheck now, that thousand an hour that you're charging, or thousand a healing, is going to be out of style soon. And then people are going to lose whatever gift you have. They're not going to be interested in it at all. Yeah. So it's like a lose-lose situation. So I would say the worst thing about spirituality, and the thing that needs to happen, and I'm not saying that we all move into an abbey and become monks, but this rejection of Western materialism has to stop, because that's when you lose the substance.
And that's, what do you think? What is your defense to the... I'm very curious what you would say to this. The argument you get is, and I've actually watched this happen in real time. I was studying it because I was going, oh, a pitch is about to happen. I get it. This person is breaking down the vibration of money. This person is talking about how people have a certain money threshold, and it was at a seminar with a bunch of people. And I thought this is so, I thought this is so great. This is the type of stuff I love talking about, the show, the way people buy into things. Mm-hmm. So this person was saying, well, look, spending more and being open, they broke this down, this money matrix, and it was about your, how much you would spend on something is indirectly proportional to how much you can grow financially. And then as soon as they said that, they went through this whole matrix and they talked about the vibration and the investment and all this stuff. And then of course they sold their, next 10-week course, and it's 10 grand and all this stuff. And look, if you're really making the do, this person did this when they got the course, and this person found this job all of a sudden. And, you know, they have the success stories, but it's not happening for everybody. So my question is this. Yes, when somebody says, well, the investment in value is going to return to you karmically. That's just part of it. It's how much do you value the gifts? There has to be an energetic exchange. Break it down right now. I want you to school these people. Why are they wrong?
Can I say whatever I want? Is this a free open podcast? I can say what I want. I'm going to say, first of all,
yeah, go taboo.
In 50 years, those people are going to look like assholes.
Yes.
Look like assholes. If we look at spiritual movements, and I'm not trying to sound sanctimonious and holier than thou, but I'll say this, the reason why money manifestation, mojo bags, good luck, and this is my POV, all these things were really important to POC, especially in America, in the, you know, 18th and 19th century, you know, and into the 20th century in some ways, was because there is a connection between oppression and not having the means and the proper representation and this idea of justice, right? In restorative justice. And so what I mean by that is, if you were a woman, white or black, anything in between, a person of color living in those time periods, really had little to no legal recourse if something were to happen to you, especially if you're black. There was no, no calling the police, not really, there wasn't a lot of methods of justice, right? So what do? Well, throughout time and traditions, it's like someone's trying to get me fired, right? Or I lost my job today because I was disrespectful to my boss, who was white, and I think they may come to get me later. Da, 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 da. So what do? You get out the Hydron the Conqueror oil, right? Or you use these things that are held, in a way you try to manifest supernatural justice to rectify in that moment what's going on or in the future, or protect people from different things. People had to use these methods to do that. And I remember reading about, like, in back in the day, people would, the undertakers, black undertakers, had a huge role in the community as far as protecting people. People pretend like they're dead, ride around in coffins to get it from point A to point B. But what I mean by all that is, all of these positions and all of these things that people did, whether they were shamans, root workers, whatever, in these communities, like, they're almost like nurses, and these are all thankless roles, right, in a way. And so when we talk about manifesting what you want and manifesting magic, it may not be a thing that may propel you above someone else. It may just be you did something substantial that may not have a monetary thing. And so for me, when people are kind of saying that, oh, in order to do this, you have to, like, you know, hit this supernatural bell and then this and this, I don't subscribe to that, because to me, if it doesn't benefit community, if community isn't first, then it's useless to me and not a part of my moral template. So I'm not interested, and it's not necessarily that those things don't work, it's just not what I'm interested in. And also, again, what I mentioned about the history part, when we look at people in these movements, right, that were able to make real changes and make a dent, they weren't just about money magic or the MLM version of spirituality that people are trying to sell.
Yeah,
people aren't trying to fucking sell you anything, you know. And so sometimes these selfless acts, to me, are more interesting. And the people, a part of a movement that I would rather be a part of, or a conversation that I'd rather be a part of, than like someone telling me how to get more money, because there's always ways to get money, right? And also there is this idea too that, like, again, like, if you are spiritually in tune, right, that the saints, your ancestors, or else will clear the path for these things to come into your life. But the idea that I could, that I need to go around the country and sell that idea to people, to me is, if, you know.
So what do you think it could be? Let's talk about this Marxist.
I hope I answered that. I feel like I went to a lot of different directions, but
no, you did. I mean, I'm gonna have to listen back and think about it, because every time you talk, I mean, look, you said I'm a good public speaker, but I definitely think you have a gift for eloquently speaking about these things and in mind-bending ways. So I definitely appreciate that, and I definitely recommend everybody check out The Esoteric Negro, available on all podcast platforms. I mean, these conversations are hard-hitting, powerful truths. Also, if you want to figure out where we are in the culture war, I mean, you got to follow Marseille Butler on Clubhouse. Definitely check that out.
Everybody's right at this point. I don't have a, everybody's right. You're all right.
Do you think what's the ideal? I mean, what do you want to see out there? Are we imagining a, she has some controversial things. So I was going to say a Mother Teresa, but you know, there's some imperfections there too. A Gandhi, I guess that we could tear him down for certain things as well. I mean, in an ideal world, if somebody were to make a large impact, this is what I want to know. What is, in your mind, the Marseille Butler spiritual influencer that is actually doing good in the world? Is it a psychic that is going into communities of underprivileged people and doing readings at no charge and transforming their lives? Is that something you would subscribe to more? Does that speak to you of a higher level of power? I guess I'm wondering, in your world with all these political beliefs, you know, who's the mystic you're voting for? What does that look like?
That I'm voting for. I wouldn't necessarily say, because I'm really big on not, I am passing judgment, but I don't really want to tell anybody what to do. I would say that, you know, people that, when I think about the people in my life that I have learned the most from, they do work and they do spiritual work and they deserve 100% to be paid for it. But also, again, I would like to see less legalism, less and more empathy, and more like, I would like to see a return to, on all fronts, the ability of people to allow people to make mistakes and the ability of people to say, I don't know everything. I would like to see that. That is, I feel like, something that we need in this moment. And someone with those characteristics, someone that is like, I'm not perfect, I'm just figuring out, but if I can help you, here's what I can do. People taking their best skills into the world and saying, this is what I have, this is what I can do, right? And so whatever they charge, that's on them. I mean, that's between you and spirit, whatever spiritual you're working with, or whatever God you're working with, that's between you and whatever you charge people. I do have judgments on that, but I'm just saying, you can do that. But as long as you're, I just would like, you know, you mentioned Mother Teresa and Gandhi, and I think that all of our heroes have shortcomings. And I definitely think that there are some things that she's being judged for harshly. And we look back and judge people harshly, but, you know, and I think that in those two cases, there are some things that we should judge harshly, right? But also being able to say, there has to be a way for us to look at the lives and work of people and being able to, and I'm not saying that some people shouldn't be canceled, you know, before I say,
I'm not going there. Bill Cosby should be in jail. Yes.
Some of these, but we should be able to learn, take lessons where they apply, and also give people some room to make mistakes. But also, I just would, for me, it would be someone who isn't trying to sell every minute, but also teach at the same time.
Is anybody doing that? Is there really, anyone out there that's doing it? Anyone?
Well,
close?
I feel like, I honestly, to me, and I know this is me, I'm not saying this because he was on my show, Mitch Horowitz is doing a great job. And I know he's not necessarily like a medium or a psychic, but this is someone that's making the occult accessible.
Yeah, for those that don't know, who is Mitch Horowitz? I've read his stuff.
Mitch Horowitz is an occult historian.
Yes.
And also has the most, I would say, out of a lot of people that I know, Aiden Wachter, hold on, Aiden Wachter too, the author of Weaving Fate is really good too. But Mitch has, Mitch is probably one of the best occult and spiritual educators that we have right now,
for
have a grounded approach and that really isn't interested in being the next Deepak, even though nothing against Deepak, but he's not really interested in that. He's really interested in helping people in a grounded way. And to me, he is like, if I had someone up on a pedestal, it would be Mitch.
Yeah, he is not saying anything. What I like about Mitch a lot is there's not a lot that he's not playing into this, I have powers that you don't, because mm-hmm. I know this stuff, I'm superior. Sure, he comes off as a cool guy, and that's his brand, and it feels authentic to me. It doesn't feel like he's just doing it in a stylish way, but there is something about the way he approaches these topics that is very accessible, appealing, and, not as much ego. Not really egoless in a lot of ways. And he's on your show.
I mean, I know Mitch isn't
awesome.
Mitch isn't a POC, but some of the POC that I do look to for personal mentorship and stuff, they don't really have socials. They're not on social media like that.
Right.
I have a great friend, Aaron DeWitt, and he's been super helpful to me. He's a chaplain and a Santero. He's amazing.
Who's the most magical person you've ever met?
Most magical?
Yeah.
Even though, Sensei Alex Koku, who's also my podcast, like he's not a magician. He's not into the occult. He's a Buddhist minister, but to me, I've never met anyone with that's had a personal effect on my own spiritual practice like that, and talking to him. He has a blog called Same Old Zen, and he was Pentecostal, served in Iraq, and now he's a Buddhist minister. And he had, during this whole last year of politics, had the most beautiful perspective on race that helped me immensely. He said, there's something important about being angry but not becoming the anger, right? He actually went out during a lot of the protests and was handing out water, and people were curious, you know, because here comes this Black Buddhist minister, and he said he was well received. But his work, I feel like if you're looking for a guru that's grounded, I only like, I guess I could call it a grounded
you
guru.
Like the grounded gurus.
Yeah, I'm a grounded guru kind of girl. I like people that are not, you know, necessarily interested in materialism and interested in the growth of the people that they're talking to. And so he's really good as well. As far as medium goes, I have a friend named Brittany Lee. She reads tarot. She's a medium here in LA. She is excellent and authentic. And she's someone that I talk to all the time, and we talk about the weird Hollywood stuff. We talk about the LA, and we talk about, you know, what's happening. It's almost like we're two old ladies together on the phone and talk about the weather. We talk about spirituality.
Right, right.
And she's excellent, and also been right about quite a lot of things. So those are the folks that I would suggest people get to. And I know I'm forgetting about some people, and I'm sorry, but
you know what's interesting about you too is that. You know, the groundedness is a very interesting thing, given that so much of spirituality, and again, it might just be this Western lens that's been put on it, it's about ascension. It is hierarchical. It's always about, well, I don't think about things anymore from this perspective because I got a higher perspective. And as you keep working with the energy, you'll get even higher, and then you'll become a master, and then you'll become a master trainer, and you can teach people. And it's always about ascending. For you, as someone that questions that we're going into 5D, is someone that is so seeming to be about equality and real equality, working for the underprivileged, working for the underrepresented, and by working, I mean putting out these messages and really speaking to voices that aren't heard. Do you, what is your relationship to spiritual ascension? What does that mean to you? Do you believe that you are tapping into something, or that you yourself could become, because yeah, that's the thing I was going to say, more magical, but then I'm using the word more, which implies that you're less right now, therefore you could acquire more. You're giving me a very a non-hierarchical spin on things today, so I'm wondering what that ascension, I put in quotes, is to you personally.
I think that it's what, I mean, honestly, what I've been going through the past couple of years, but I think my aversion is just not to be an asshole about it, because that's
right. Right.
And I hate to say that, but the truth is, when people have these awakenings and they find something new, people get really shitty and they start becoming really shitty to people around them because they found something new that makes them feel great and they can't stop fucking talking about it. Right. It's, you know, I don't know if, I have a good friend of mine, and this is a good example. He's like, you know, you're going to get red pilled. He was like, I can tell you're going to get red pilled. You're going to be done with this identity stuff. He was like, you can be a lefty and be, you know, red pilled. He's like, you're going to start, you know, you're going to be really shifting away. Like, and he said, right. He said this to me. And I said, you know, I said, if that's the case, then let me find it. If this is something that I'm going to adopt, then let me find it for myself. And I think that with religion, especially, it's something that no matter what it is, it's that we people take the baggage from these old relationships or these habits they had in old relationships, and they don't drop them, and they bring them into the new shit, as I was, just to be really plain about it, you know. And just like, if you've met somebody that's recently, have you ever met somebody that's recently like gotten baptized, or they recently get into a new religion, right? And they want to proselytize to you about how great it is and how you should do it too, whether it's keto or whatever. It's the same thing. So I think for me, shifting the 5D, quote unquote, if I were to entertain this idea that it is an actual 5, there's a spiritual ascension. I believe in that, but it's not something.
The real people that are doing are just shutting up about it.
Just shutting the fuck up. Yeah.
That might be okay. There we go. This is the title of this episode: Shut Up About Your Spirituality with Marseille Butler.
Sorry, it sounds really, I want to hear from people, but it's just like, I don't want to it's just like, you know, I don't think the 5D ascension comes with a new flavor of narcissism, and I think that's the problem for me. It's just like, you still don't know shit. Like, that's okay. You still don't know. You haven't figured out anything else. Like, you've gotten a peek behind the veil, but you don't know everything. And there's some things that I feel like we won't know until we fully leave this plane of existence. But some folks think that they, you know, they know what planet they came from. They know the name of the, and hey, more power to you if you figure that all out. And some things I don't want to know. Some things I want to be surprised about. Some things I like to be wrong, right? So I think that's.
Wow. A very different take on esotericism. I even say that right? I'm not even sure. Yes, Marseille Butler. Make sure everybody listen to the Esoteric Negro podcast. We'll put the link to that as well. You know, Marseille, look, always an amazing conversation.
Yeah,
that's good. I'm so glad that I, you know, got you to talk about spiritual stuff again instead of all that politics stuff.
Jeez, I'm tired of it.
I needed to pull you back in the direction. Remember the ghost. Remember the energy. Remember all that stuff. Hey, yes, we're still here. Us star seeds. The star seeds want you back. We want you back. No, I don't even know if I believe it at all either. I mean, yeah. Are you a star seed? Have you talked to any Pleiadians recently?
We're going back to that hierarchy thing. There's a part of me that wants to believe in that. I believe that some of us have different talents and gifts that others don't have. But this idea that it seems a little...
Alien abductions, real?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think people have had interactions for sure. And been, I believe people that have been abducted, I believe there's some people that just had a bad camping trip they want to forget about, but I 100% certainly believe in that. But do I necessarily think that people, once people start talking about, oh, I was born here to do this, and people, there are some people that are destined to do things and that come here for specific reasons. I 100% believe that, but we place, especially in the spiritual way, we place way too much importance on ourselves. And I think there's more people doing that now because nobody knows what's happening. There's so much uncertainty. We're making ourselves out to be way too
important. Drop the self. That's the key. That's the key to
drop
all of this.
Drop the self. Really drop the self, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. A mind-bending trip. I love this. Hey, thank you so much for coming on again. We'll have to do it again. I'm curious. Your thoughts are always evolving. I definitely love these conversations. So Marseille, I am so grateful you came on.
Yeah. I had a great time. This was very good. This was fun. This was so much fun for me. I hope you guys hope to listen and I'm doing some other stuff. Late, I'm going to be talking about, I need to come back and talk to you about magic because I'm trying to do some episodes about some black magicians.
Oh, I want to learn that.
Yeah, I've been deep in that history for the past month or so.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even get to that. I want to know more. Yes, you're going to have to come on and tell me your research. That's going to be great. Awesome. Hey, Marseille, thank you again. We'll talk soon. Butler de Marseille. I love her. She's great. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed that conversation, make sure to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. And make sure you check out me getting fixed. All the healers that come on this show, they want to fix me. Will Jerome be able to do it? It's coming up this Sunday, August 15th at 8 p.m. I hope you enjoy this show. Also, Marseille's podcast. Such good stuff. Thanks for listening.